You've only gone and downloaded a multiplesources.net podcast. For more episodes of this show and a bunch of other content covering everything from NBA teams to professional wrestling, visit multiplesources.net. Multiplesources.net. But wait, act now and you too could join multiplesources.net. Yeah, we're looking for people to do their own podcasts about different NBA teams. We're looking for blog authors, video highlight creators, basically anything you can think of to write about sports, you can kind of write or create to your heart's content. So if you want to help us and join this up-and-coming independent blog and podcast network monster, go to multiplesources.net. I'll stick something in the sidebar that says join us or something equally unfunny. So go and click on that. Join us.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 9th edition of Bang, the Knicks podcast. I am here today with Brendan. Zachary is still on his extended vacation, but we had to call an emergency podcast with the big news of the Knicks ending the Derek Fisher experiment. Gone after a little bit over a year and a half. It was pretty shocking to most people. Brendan, right off the bat, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you at this move?
I probably have to say like an 8 or a 9. I figured it would happen eventually, but I didn't think they'd do it in the middle of the season.
Yeah, the timing is very is interesting. You know, now bringing in Kurt Rambis as the interim coach for the rest of the year. You know, Kurt Rambis has had very limited, if any, success as an NBA head coach. And apparently Phil feels, he's the guy that's going to lead them into this pseudo playoff push that they have going on now. I mean, is Phil thinking that Kurt Rambis is that much of an upgrade over Derek Fisher at this point? Or what's going through Phil's mind at the moment?
I don't know.
million-dollar question.
Yeah, I don't see us making the playoffs this year because, you know, we've just lost 9 out of 10. We're 8 games back of 500. If we wanted to make the playoffs, we should have, like, won half of those games. I guess we kind of have a nice, easier stretch post-All-Star break, so it could happen. But I don't know why now, and it doesn't really make any sense to me. The only thing I could think would be the case is I just saw a tweet, like a post on the Knicks sub that was like, I guess Derek Fisher was creeping on all of the players' girlfriends and wives on social media.
Yeah.
So that is definitely like a very unprofessional thing. He also made those comments about Rondo and and the whole Matt Barnes thing. So I could see Phil just not being okay with the league and the media's perception of Derek Fisher.
Yeah. I have to plead ignorance to anything that Derek Fisher has been doing on Instagram, but I did hear a couple of people alluding to him perhaps putting some, like you mentioned, something happening with some players' girlfriends or wives on Instagram. Do you know much more about that other than
No, I haven't found anything yet, but that is weird.
Yeah. I mean, the whole timing of it and that like little rumor there just kind of makes it seem like there's something else that Phil is not happy with it, you know, as concerns Derek Fisher. I know in the press conference today he mentioned a couple of things. One thing he kind of alluded to was how, you know, Derek Fisher had all these or he had some, you know, experience on the bench, and Phil kind of alluded to the fact that maybe he wasn't taking advantage of that experience. I don't know if that really would be the thing that would get him out. You know, I know Kurt Rambis is more of a triangle guy, or, you know, he's dedicated to definitely running the triangle. So, I don't know how much of this is Phil just looking at looking at Derek and the offense, or the losing streak, or if there's something more, you know, the Matt Barnes thing. He obviously said he was not happy about, and you know, maybe, you know, it didn't impact this decision, but it was embarrassing for the organization and for Derek. He says it had nothing to do with what's happened here today, but could, you know, could that have been something? And then there was some straw that broke the camel's back that, you know, built on top of that kind of thing that we're not being clued in on about it. And I'm not sure.
I mean, we've always had complaints about him, not like his rotations have been bad, and like he just seems not really into it. There was always like, I was behind having Derek Fisher on the team. Like, I felt like he could be a good coach, but he just never really, you know, it never really was there. He never had the energy that I, like, he didn't seem like he wanted the job as much as Phil wanted him to want the job. You know, like, he could have played another year of basketball, but didn't, because they offered him, like, Steve Kerr money.
Right, right. Way more money than he would have made playing that particular year. And the fact that they offered him Steve Kerr money,
I was a little offended by that, actually.
It's a little perplexing. I mean, I know Steve Kerr had never coached before the Warriors, but at least he was an executive. Like, he was a little bit removed from, he was removed from being a player and had like respect as an executive. So, you know, the fact that he got exactly basically the contract that was on the table for Kerr was a little weird.
What offended me about that was that Phil didn't want to pay Steve Kerr that kind of money, and then went ahead and paid Derek Fisher that kind of money. And I was like, why didn't you just give Steve Kerr that kind of money? And then we would have him. Like, I don't know where in his head he justified that. And that didn't make any sense to me when it happened. Like, why? Like, I figured Derek Fisher was going to get paid less money and have less time on his contract. But no.
Yeah, yeah. How much is Jason Kidd getting paid over in Milwaukee? I don't think it's on the same level as Derek Fisher.
And he no, at least it's had definitely
a,
not.
Yeah, he had a you know, that one miserable season with the Nets, but you know, definitely Derek Fisher was overpaid, and but part of the problem, I guess, is like the reason that he was overpaid, and kind of the problem that I have looking at the landscape of where do they go from here is, you know, is Phil Jackson just married to hiring one of his disciples that's going to come in, like another guy that's going to come in and be, you know, under the wing of Phil? Or is he thinking outside of the box, like guys like Thibodeau? And, you know, is the ego too big? Is Phil Jackson more concerned about winning his way with the triangle, or, you know, is he open to win other ways?
I'm getting a little bit worried that he's only open to winning with the triangle. The press conference was a little enlightening and a little, like, if he's not going to talk to Tom Thibodeau, then we have an issue. Because he's obviously the best coach that's out there right now, and he wants to coach in New York. It just, to me, is like, come on, man. You have like a perfect opportunity to get a good coach that, you know, he's established. He's like, defense is his whole thing. I don't know. Maybe you hire Thibodeau as the head coach and you get like Jeff Hornacek. Yeah, he would want a head coaching job. I don't know. You get somebody that has an offense. I guess Jeff Hornacek doesn't really have an offense either.
Bring back Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, like if somebody with an offense.
Right.
I mean, maybe not D'Antoni, him, but
somebody that just
has
like
an
that.
Offense, and they can run the offense, and Thibs can run the defense and make it a really good defense. I just don't want to see us go and get fucking Brian Shaw.
Yeah,
or
which
let
is
Kurt Rambis run the show. Like, it's not going to help us, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Shaw does not excite me at all. Kurt Rambis definitely does not excite me. And I, you know, people are all in a tizzy about Luke Walton, you know, going 40 and or whatever the hell he went.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it being good, but
right. It's so, you know, it's coaching is weird, you know, like how David Blatt was originally going to be Steve Kerr's right-hand man. And I wonder if, you know, Blatt had instead of going to Cleveland, had taken that job, and when Kerr went out, he had that he would have had that awesome streak, most likely, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and those guys. And yeah, the Knicks would probably be courting him right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate a David Black conversation, actually. I think that he is a smart coach and he's got a nice offensive system. I don't think he would be a bad fit in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he necessarily would be good or bad, but it's just coaching is you need the players. You need the players, and that's one reason that it stresses me out, just having Phil so just he's got to win by the triangle, and who is he going to bring in? Like Tom Thibodeau would be a great, forget about just the defensive coach. Like he was the best coach on the market. He should be the front runner to be the next coach of the Knicks.
Yes.
I mean, without a doubt, but you know, Tom Thibodeau probably doesn't know the triangle from you know, a hole in the wall. Like he's not a triangle guy. He's not going to come in and necessarily want to run the triangle offense in a way that would make Phil Jackson happy. And you know,
my hope is that Phil doesn't go like, oh, you don't know this, so you're out. I didn't watch much of, like, I watched Bulls, like, not religiously, so I don't really know what his offensive system was like. But if Thibs can run a set offense, and I think that that's more what Phil is looking for, is somebody to run an offensive system. Like, he said that in the press. He was like, right, I want them to run a system. Like, this is a system that we like, that I want them to play with. Like, if Thibs has a system of motion and that he can bring in, maybe they just like throw a little triangle in there and get it, you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think Thibs isn't going to make it, but he should.
Yeah, I don't think he will either. And, you know, I'm sure there's a divergence of opinions by Bulls fans on Thibs, but I know the one thing that Bulls fans were harping on his weakness is that it was definitely his offensive system, and you know, he was just kind of he ran guys into the ground, and you know, he was just kind of, you know, they were very stagnant at times. You know, the defense always showed up every day, but you know, the offense would depend on Jimmy Butler going off, or you know, when he was healthy. You know, Derrick Rose basically carrying the load. So, you know, is Phil going to love that? I don't know. But then you got other guys who he's probably not going to consider either. Mark Jackson, who I don't want, but you know, he's not going to consider him. And Jeff Van Gundy, a lot of people, you know, think that he's one of the top coaches on the market. But, you know, Phil, based on history, is probably not going to consider bringing in Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, I don't think Jeff Van Gundy really has that much interest coming back to coaching. I heard him make a comment about how he just loves the money of announcing, and he doesn't like really have to do anything. So I wouldn't.
Yeah, I can see how that lifestyle would be more intriguing to somebody than the barrage of coaching the Knicks on a.
Yeah, I mean that's a stressful job, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, a little side note, the back page of the Post and the Daily News tomorrow, will it be Go Fish or anything else? Like, do you think anything else has a chance?
No, that's a good one.
I actually stole that from the byline of Berman's article today.
Nice.
But that was breaking news. I was like, that's got to be the back page.
Yeah. It's a big day for Knicks, I guess. I heard Jeff Hornacek is a possibility. But I was just reading, well, he's open and he's a Phil. They have a good connection.
Right.
He's good at developing young guys. I don't think he's like really that great in offense though. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's, you know, just looking back, it's amazing how fast this thing really fell apart, because it really, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago that we were right at 500, and you know, we were just had these fantasies of you know, the pairing of Porzingis and Melo, and you know, things seemed to be on the upward swing. You know, I was about to start calling 44 wins again,
But, yeah, we're not going to make that anymore.
Yeah, we're not. We're not. I mean, we were, I mean, at least a few times in the year, we were like knocking on 500. It looked like we were going to make our run. And then as soon as we got to 500 or a game below, then things just completely fell apart. We need like a Jeremy Lin savior like they had in February of 2012, like some kind of miracle. Maybe Calderon gets hot.
He's been pretty hot, and
he has been.
Been pretty good. I you know, this team just isn't that good.
That's the thing.
We were, you know, irrationally hyped, which is what Knicks fans do. So.
Yeah, I mean, we were irrationally hyped, and no matter where the season goes, I mean, it's going to be, to me, it's going to be a success because you finally have, you have what seems to be like the big piece, and you got to look at it from more of a big picture. You know, we finally have something that we have not had in 20 years in this town and on this team, so things are definitely looking up, even though living day to day, it's kind of depressing that the playoffs are looking like a very, very slim possibility at this point.
Yeah, it's okay. I've kind of accepted it at this point. I don't know what I was just going to say.
What do you think now that we have a new interim head coach? Do you think Phil is looking at the roster? Is he going to be a buyer, a seller at the deadline?
Or? I watched Kurt Rambis's press conference, and he said something about there is a guy they have in mind, but they don't know if they're going to make the move, and he didn't mention who it was. So, I don't think we have the right pieces to get Jeff Teague. I think he would be a good fit. I don't think we're going to get Mike Conley in the offseason, so that would be a nice... But Jeff Teague's also got a player option, so he could just be a free agent for summer, and we just get him. So, I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, I haven't really broke it down in depth, but Mike Conley has talked, you know, as free agents do, fairly positively about the at least potential prospect of thinking about the Knicks. Where do you have him? Is there a particular place that you think he would really fit in other than the Knicks, besides staying in Memphis? I mean, because the Knicks, if you look at it as a... I mean, he's a little older than Porzingis, and the Knicks are obviously not a good team, but if even in a standing pat, they are a team where a point guard of Mike Conley's level could make a significant improvement in the team. So I don't think he's coming either, but I wouldn't rule that one out 100%. I think they got a shot at Mike Conley.
I guess there isn't really another team that I can think of that would be a better fit. Like, I mean, I guess the Bucks, but I don't think the Bucks are they going to be active this offseason? Like, they don't like Michael Carter-Williams, so, and they need some more shooting. But they're not really that attractive. I feel like the Knicks are more attractive than the Bucks, but that could just be bias.
Yeah, I mean, the one good thing about the year is that regardless of being 23-31 and most likely going to miss the playoffs, I do think they are beginning. And this is kind of the reason why I'm a little depressed about the whole Derek Fisher thing, because it would have been nice, even if they finished this season a little bit below 500, missed the playoffs, to have that continuity to sell to free agents. And that kind of goes out the window now. You know, guys are going to kind of wait and see who they hire. You know, it's going to be starting over with a new coach. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, I'm a little, you know, I think the Fisher thing, it is what it is, but I just wish, I'm a little upset with Phil that he didn't get it right the first time, and that he didn't, you know, Porzingis was a big move with the fourth pick, and he's always going to have that in his back pocket. That was a great move that he did. But, you know, he swung and missed on his first head coach. You got to say that.
Yeah, there's definitely no denying that. It's pretty hard fail.
Yeah, 5-year contract, so he's getting paid for now.
Well, the fifth year was like an option, and there was a bunch of bonuses and stuff. So it's really not that. It's like a lot of money, but it's not as much.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, it could be worse, but
it could be worse. The Knicks are no strangers to eating money.
Exactly.
That's the one thing. But, you know, again, they're paying Derek Fisher all this money, so I wonder how much the next coach, what kind of contract the next coach is going to be looking at.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I hope they don't sign him to another 5-year deal and then fire him.
Yeah, Phil has got to get he's got to get this one right. But, you know, again, it's – hiring coaches is a tricky business. There's so many retreat coaches. There's, you know, I don't know what he's gonna do here. That's, it seemed like Fisher was the perfect guy for him, and now he might have to think a little bit outside of his box. We'll see what happens. But
The unfortunate thing is that we won't even know until the offseason. Like, they're going to keep Kurt Rambis until the end of the year. And it's like, we're going to sit through this with no, like, you know, I don't know.
Is there anything that Kurt Rambis can do in closing out this year that would make Knick fans okay with keeping him on?
I kind of don't want him to do well enough that we want him to stay.
Yeah, that's the scary the weird and scary predicament that, you know, we kind of find ourselves in is that I don't think that we will, but, you know, if we finish on a somewhat high note, you know, he might have a, you know, Phil might get in his head that Kurt Rambis is the guy that can run the triangle, and, you know, I don't know, but he would have to do better than Fisher, obviously, but yeah, if they go 500. But yeah, again, I think the Knicks, I don't think that they'd be happy keeping him.
I don't want us to keep Kurt Rambis. Honestly, I would like to see Phil hire somebody outside of his tree as the head coach, and hire someone within his tree as an associate head coach, and not Kurt Rambis.
Yeah, I would. I personally would like him to just hire somebody outside his tree. You know, I don't think Pat Riley is. You know, if he had to replace Spo, Pat Riley's going to look at all the available coaches. I think. You know, I mean, Pat Riley's he's not perfect. He's no angel, obviously, but I don't think. I like the fact that Pat Riley is not as regimented in his philosophy as Phil. Kind of like, but when Pat Riley coached the Knicks, you know, he was all showtime with the Lakers, and then he came to the Knicks and he changed his entire coaching, you know, his whole system changed. They became, you know, the Knicks were the opposite of the showtime Lakers. And that's really, you know, to me, one of Pat Riley's, the greatest things that he did as a coach was not be married to one particular system.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think it says a lot about a coach that they're willing to change what they know works. And we're not really seeing Phil do that.
Right.
But that's not to say that it won't work. So, you know, I don't know. Like, when we've played well on the nights that we've actually really used the triangle, and it's like, we've played really well. So it's there. It's in there. I think we need some more people, and to not just be, like, we can have the triangle be our main offensive system, but I think we need to incorporate other things.
I agree. You know, another thing, the Knicks, as Derek Fisher kind of alluded to at the end of the last game, they've been playing really well quarters number 2 through 4, or, you know, reasonably well, but they've been digging themselves holes a lot of the time, not coming out ready, you know, ready to play. And then they kind of use all that energy kind of dragging themselves out of the hole. And there's not, you know, there's nothing left to close the deal. You know, so Fisher has got to take some responsibility for that. I don't know if he's not, you know, enough of a disciplinarian or he wasn't enough of a motivator. But, you know, you look at the Knicks roster and, you know, Carmelo is not that traditional leader who's really going to be vocal. So they really need that from a, I think, a coaching perspective. They need someone who's can really command the respect, that's got some kind of credentials, that, you know, people are not going to, you know, they're not going to be able to put themselves ahead of whoever they bring in. So I kind of admire the way the Celtics did it with Brad Stevens. You know, they brought him on a nice long contract, but, you know, they were committed to him. And Danny Ainge was, you know, definitely committed. He did all his homework on Brad Stevens. You know, I guess Phil, this particular hire, it just didn't work out for him. But what are you going to do? But, yeah, so we're 23-31 right now. We got some things coming up. We got Washington tomorrow night. In Washington, then we got a couple of easy, you know, not easy games, but Brooklyn, we're at Brooklyn, at Minnesota, that's going to be interesting again, seeing Towns versus Porzingis, and then a week from tonight, we'll be versus Toronto at the Garden, so we got Washington and Toronto at the Garden, and then we're at Brooklyn, we're at Minnesota. Yeah, could Rambis turn thing, or could he have the illusion of turning the things around? The next four games seem, you know, there's been harder games. Toronto is going to be a difficult one, but we can definitely hang with Washington, Brooklyn, and Minnesota coming up here.
I mean, we've been able to hang with some really good teams, but
yeah, that's very true. Hanging is not the, but I mean, if we play our game, you know,
if we play well, we can beat almost anybody. But that's the issue, is like, what I actually really want to see us do is rest Melo until after the All-Star break. Like, he's obviously not feeling good, and putting him out there in what's starting to feel like a lost cause isn't worth it. Like, yeah. let the dude heal, like, this whole week, whatever, man. Like, what is the big deal of losing a couple of games? We're already at the point where we're probably not going to make the playoffs. So just say fuck it.
Yeah, I agree. You don't want to get to what happened last year where we're just like shutting him down for the season in February.
No, and but, I don't think we would do that. It'd just be like a week.
Yeah, I mean, let him heal. I agree. He looked like he was hobbling around.
Yeah, he's even mentioned that his mechanics are off. So it's like you kind of got to give him a break.
Yeah, and they, you know, without him, they stay in games, they fight. They're like when all superstars go out, they're just a completely different team without him. But, you know, they definitely can't close games without having his dependability as a crunch time scorer. But, you know, they definitely, they hang around, they fight when they don't have him in the lineup.
Yeah, I would like to see that all the time. I don't know why they don't do it when he is in the lineup.
Is there anything, what would you put the possibilities at this point that Melo is moved before the trading deadline? Would you say that's 15%? 0%.
Phil just said it today. He's not available.
But I mean, they say, you know, you could say anything. I mean, is there anybody out, that's, I mean,
I don't think anybody can make a deal that is worth it.
That's the thing. I mean, is there anybody that would look at Melo that has a chance that would say he could put us over the top?
The Heat.
The Heat. Over the top is a...
That's it. I mean, if you went to the Heat, they would instantly be the next contender. And Melo always plays well against LeBron, and that would be like a huge storyline, and the Heat would get behind it. But what are we going to get back? Justice Winslow would be the only like player that I could sit here and be like, he is the one guy that we would want from that team. He's young, he's on the same timeline as Porzingis, he's got defense. Like, we were almost going to draft him anyway. And then some picks, but those picks are all going to be out of the lottery. So it's like,
They don't have any like 7'5" Lithuanians stashed in Europe.
No, they don't. And then contracts wise, like matching the money is going to be impossible for any team.
Yeah, it's
for it to be worth that team giving up 20 salaries, like it's not. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. I guess, you know, if there was a if Melo was playing at a little bit of a higher level, and you know, you could find a way to make some things work. I guess, you know, someone could get desperate. Someone would get desperate and make a deal. But he's just not the guy. I think that anybody that's in contention is gonna say, "Ooh, we gotta have him. We gotta give up." You know, this guy. You know, if the Heat had a guy in Europe or whatever, but Justice Winslow's not enough.
He's probably not enough. Like the Clippers would be another one, but they'd give us Blake Griffin, which would be cool, but it doesn't really change. I mean, we have a 4 and a 5 now instead of a 3 and a 4 and a 5. I don't know. It doesn't. None of it makes sense, and I don't think anybody can offer us what we want for Melo. And I don't even know what we'd want for Melo.
Yeah. How about this one that I was thinking about watching the game on Sunday? If we can't obviously make the salaries work with the two of them, but if the Nuggets could do something on their end to make it work, Gallinari for Melo straight up right now, all these years later, would you make the deal?
No, I wouldn't.
No. No. Oh, I would be tempted. 27. The guy's putting up 20 points a game. And he's 27, which just means his timeline matches up more with Porzingis than Melo's.
He's coming off an ACL.
I was always a big fan of his back in the day, and he's starting to kind of put things together at a near all-star level. But, you know, it's interesting to think about all these years later. Those guys are still going at it. I saw Gallo was trash-talking Melo at the end of the game on Sunday, and Melo just had his classic Melo smile for him. I would have liked to hear what was involved in that trash-talking.
That's pretty funny.
That was like, what was that, 5 years ago now, right? Man.
Yeah, it seems... Does this feel longer ago? Kind of.
Yeah, it was another lifetime ago that Gallinari and Landry Fields and
what an awesome team.
Yeah, they had some. They had a good, nice little run for a while when Amari put up 30 points per game in like 9 straight games. Is that, am I remembering that right?
I think so. He was a beast when he was healthy. It was great.
He was those first 40 or 50 games as a Knick, he was on another planet. On another planet. It's sad the way he broke down, especially after the dreams of the Carmelo, Amari, Chris Paul trio never transpired. That was setting Nick's message boards and Reddit forums aflame for a few years there. When was it finally going to happen?
That would have been, I mean, I don't know if Chris Paul will come here ever, but I just want Phil to do right this time around.
Yeah, he's making enough money, so. But it's Dolan's money, you know. And the Knicks spend money. To me, it's Dolan's money, so what the hell do I care?
That's true.
Jimmy Dolan has enough money, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't really need any more.
It's good to be Jim Dolan. It's good to be Jim Dolan. So what else? What else? I mean, we got Jaren Grant. He's looked decent lately. Still no jump shot. You were talking about Langston Galloway the other day. You think he's got a potential to be the starting point guard in the future?
Yes, I think he has the drive. And that is probably the most important part to me. And watching him play early this season, like, he was killing it. He's clutch. He is unselfish. He likes to get to the basket. He plays really great defense. And he's been working on his handles. Like, he does those Steph Curry dribble drills all the time. So he's, like, conscious of that. I don't think it'll happen this year. It isn't happening this year. I mean, fuck, he should be starting over Jose anyway, but whatever. He's already closing out games instead of Jose, so it's kind of the same thing to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first step. He looked great to me the other night.
Yeah, he's against, looked really good lately.
Against a couple of games ago against Detroit, he was just he was having his way. And he has those flashes where you're like, he could be something, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, the NBA is such a – you got to have a star at point guard now, really, if you're going to make any noise. And peak Langston Galloway, he's got a long way to go. The drive is there, but he's got a lot to improve on.
He worked out every day this offseason, like – hard every day this offseason, and it showed at the beginning of the year. And I can only imagine that he's going to continue to do that. And if he improves half as much as he improved going into this current season, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be our starting point guard, unless we get like Mike Conley.
Right, unless we get Mike Conley. I guess there's a few other options out there. But, you know, regardless of Mike Conley, we got to have, I think, you know, I like Langston Galloway, but I want to look at some other options as plan B and maybe C after Mike Conley. Some people were saying Jeremy Lin. I'm not sure I'm thrilled with that idea. But, you know, there's guys out there. It's good. The free agency landscape is very weird this year because there's so many teams with cap space and there's a – you know, a bunch of guys coming up, a bunch of, you know, there's a couple of really good free agents, and there's a lot of guys in the middle there. But just how the fact that so many teams have enormous amounts of cap space, how much is that going to influence things? And in what way is that going to influence things? It's kind of unprecedented, the scene that we're coming up on in July of this year.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely a mess. But it makes it really hard to know what's going to happen. Like, I'm actually very interested to see what the Nets do because they have absolutely no future. And, like, who's actually going to sign there? Is anybody actually going to sign there? Are they going to go get into even worse of a situation? Like, can they get worse?
Yeah.
I guess if Brook Lopez goes away, they're worse. Like,
yeah, they've got to deal Brook Lopez and Thad Young for just anything that's going to kind of put something back in their cupboard, like to make people at least have some kind of hope. Because you can't just keep trotting this miserable team out year after year when, you know, all of your draft picks are going to other teams, you know. Maybe, you know, with all these teams having cap space, some teams are going to get shut out of the big free agents. So maybe there's a place, like, somebody's looking at Brook Lopez. Like, the, you know, I know the Charlotte Hornets used to kind of look at Brook Lopez. You know, teams are trying to sign him as a free agent a couple of years ago. So if I were them, I would try to just unload any assets, the players that they have, for some kind of young pick, you know, assets, picks, things that can kind of stock the cupboard of, like, hope for that team, because they're in a bad spot, man. I went to the game a few weeks ago now, and the Knicks-Nets game, and it was 85-90% Knicks fans. It was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, watching that game on TV, it was like there were no Nets fans in the building. It was insane. Yeah.
The most popular jersey in the building by far was Porzingis. And, yeah, it seemed like a road game.
Yeah, they were even wearing the home jerseys the Knicks were, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, I think the Nets just like their black jerseys better.
Yeah, they must.
They're way cooler looking. So, excuse me for burping in the podcast there, but they're way cooler looking than their white uniforms, and they need every bit of coolness and hipness that they can get, because that's their target market, is the hipsters, not the diehard Nets fans, unfortunately.
They really should have stayed in New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were irrelevant in New Jersey too.
Not really relevant now.
They're not, yeah. But they just did think so. They could have been, I think. I think they just played it so stupidly. I don't know why they just didn't. If they came into Brooklyn with a young team that had hoped to grow and get better in the future, I feel like people would have latched on to them more than just this kind of hodgepodge of aging guys from other teams that, you know, didn't really have it anymore. They were just kind of they copied the Knicks blueprint for the past 15, 20 years. I guess that was the blueprint for success that Prokhorov and Jay-Z were talking about, but that didn't have any success.
Yeah, it had absolutely no success.
One problem, Jay-Z and Prokhorov, that was not a blueprint for success at all, as we can all attest to.
Yeah. Talking about the Nets actually makes me sad.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But what are we going to do? We're Knicks fans. We've been through a lot. But this season, it's been a tease. It's been a giant tease where at times I thought we were headed for the playoffs. I had visions of, you know, next year, Melo and Porzingis taking a third guy with them and this team to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe. But, you know, who knows?
There's
hope. We could still, yeah, we still got Phil Jackson and his, what, 11 rings. He's got some cachet. Things are better than they were a year ago.
Yes, no matter, most definitely.
Any way you slice it, so you got to look on the bright side. But we'll see. Maybe we can close the season strong and make the playoffs. But then Kurt Rambis still gets fired.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would hope for that. Actually,
best case scenario this year, we go on a run, we make the playoffs, and then Phil Jackson hires Tom Thibodeau as the new head coach. And we can go from there.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what I hope happens.
So we'll see. We'll hope for that. And I don't know. That's all we got. All we got, people, is hope. Hope is what it's all about.
Dreaming.
Dream on. It's an election season. you got to have hope. You got to have hope. But hopefully we're going to do the next podcast. We're not going to have such a long break as we've had since the last time we put out an edition of Bang. And hopefully we're going to get Zachary back, because he's been AWOL. But I feel like he's going to get the cord that he needs to make his triumphant return for next time.
I hope he does.
I hope he does too. But all right, well, I guess if you don't have any parting thoughts, I guess we'll wrap things up. I guess people can still like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you guys are on Reddit, promote us on Reddit. Let people, you know, you listen to the podcast, and, you know, hopefully we'll put something out with this podcast and spur some conversations. And we'll get to the promised land at some point. I have faith.
Keep dreaming.
Any parting words, Brandon, for next time?
Keep dreaming.
Keep dreaming. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.